Now on Money News, Roger Montgomery, talking trade. Thanks to BankWest. Go low with a BankWest business loan at bankwest.com.au/low rate.
Yes, Roger Montgomery from rogermontgomery.com. Also, Scaffold is his online platform that people can find out about various shares and so forth. Roger.
G'day,
after
Ross.
A few weeks of the Olympics, welcome back.
Thank you very much. You know, I turned up while the Olympics were on and I pressed the buzzer downstairs and I said, it's me. And they said, who's me? And I said, it's Roger Montgomery. The Olympics are on. Oh, that's right.
Yes, that's right. You forgot. Anyway, Roger's a man with a single-track mind. There's no doubt about that. I want to just raise a really good question. We were talking with Michael Rice earlier.
Yes.
He was talking about pensions, about ageing populations. All that.
Sure.
Now,
big impact on the stock market too.
Of course, because you are an investment manager, correct?
Yes, correct.
Your job is to hold a store of value for investors.
Preserve value, we call it. We're preserving value.
And those investors who come and put their faith in you are doing so because they would hope that a nest egg or a pot of money will be bigger in the future than it is today, and as a result, they can live off it. Because you've got to invest for a reason, don't you?
Well, it needs to be bigger, because if it doesn't grow, and this is the problem putting your money in bonds, if it doesn't grow, then your purchasing power's eroded. So in 10 years' time, you won't be able to go to the same restaurants that you can go to now, and you won't be able to invite as many friends.
Except for one thing, if inflation's only 1%, is it that really hard to beat inflation?
I'd like someone to ring up and tell me that the cost of their living only went up 1% last year.
Well, according to the stats, of course, that's exactly
forget
what
it the
did.
Stats. Nobody believes the stats, Ross. And my cost of living didn't go up. You know why the cost of living only went up 1%? It's because the price of televisions and laptops went down. But you don't buy those every year. And because you don't buy them every year, the cost of the other things that you do buy regularly, they go up. And so life is more expensive than 1%.
All right. Now, given that, we've got a number of callers on the board. So you can listen and participate in this as well. Let's go for this. Let's go to Anne in Bondi first up. Hello, Anne.
Hi. Just a few points. I remember when the pension wasn't vested at all. And I'd like to see, like the UK, you get back according to how much tax you paid. And also another thing your guest forgot to mention, it's not only the elderly that get the pension. So people on disability pensions are much younger and surely they can't be forced to sell their assets.
To be honest, Anne, I don't think that would happen. I think anybody in a disability pension would not be touched in any way, shape or form. I think we're really talking here about older Australians and age pensions that are going to be the ones. But I think you're right there, Anne. If you've put money in during your tax period, that a lot of people do remember the years, going back a long time, when people not only made a tax contribution, but a social service contribution as well. So if money's been stacked aside, well, is it the government's problem or is it our problem? I think it's a really good point. And this is true, Roger, isn't it? Because where does the problem lie? Is it that, you know, we've put our taxes in, so we expect something back? Or is it that the government just says, no, sorry, we don't have enough dough, you can look after yourself for a while?
Well, usually if they can afford all the current expenses, then they've got something left over for the future years. But if they don't invest that wisely or they don't have enough, then they can't.
Well, okay, there's another point, because compulsory superannuation, which has made a lot of fund managers fat in Australia, there's no doubt.
You notice I'm not...
Yeah, well, I know that. All right.
Right.
So, but a lot of them have become fat off the back of it. Pretty easy money. Money just compulsorily comes to you. You make a fee off the back of it.
And mindless investing off the back of it
as well. Well, because often they just only follow the market. They don't try and beat the market because all they're trying to do is to milk the money out of that fund. So here is one of the points about this, is that because that money's been put aside, that's gone from foregone tax cuts, from foregone pay increases. That's how that's got up to 9%. They're talking about it going even higher.
12. Correct.
So you've already made your contribution on behalf of the government. You've done the government's work for it.
Well, that's the theory. We're in transition, aren't we? So there's not enough. What's happened is the compulsory superannuation was introduced a little late in the baby boomers' life cycle, and so they haven't been able to accumulate. Many of them haven't been able to accumulate enough to be able to retire fully on that nest egg, and so they need to be supplemented with a pension.
Well, and a lot of people will be sitting out there and saying, and because a whole bunch of fund managers have been absolutely
lousy returns,
lousy at their job, it means that my nest egg has now shrunk, and so I'm either A, having to consider working longer, or B, having to fall onto that age pension that I never really wanted to.
Let me give you a little insight very quickly. I walk down the street and people say, Rog, how are you going? You know, there's other fund managers. We bump into each other and we talk. And often their first question isn't, how's your performance going? That should be the first question. Yeah. How are you performing? Their first question is, how much have you got under management now?
Yeah.
Which indicates to me that they're more interested in how much they can make for themselves than how much they're making for their clients. And that really worries me. Now, that's not true. It's not fair to say that for all fund managers. There are some that are very concerned.
I'm going to say that I've had a similar problem with a lot of financial advisors.
Right.
A lot of financial advisors have got exactly the same problem. Yeah. The clients come second. Their own wealth comes first.
Yeah,
it's and I'm going to say that's putting the horse before the cart.
It's a privilege to manage other
Let's
people's
go very
money.
Quickly, speaking of horses before carts, to Chris in Willoughby, who I think has got that same view. Hello, Chris.
Oh, good day, guys.
Good day, Chris.
Just commenting on that actuary speaking earlier about retirees.
Yes.
I think we're focusing too much on making our elderly work longer. We're happy to fund young people to stay at home, do absolutely nothing. I think if we took those funds and put it to the elderly, we can all retire quite happily.
See, there you go. Interesting point. Because there's no doubt there are, for some young Australians, an incentive to stay at home and look after families, which is all reasonable, not a bad thing for people to do. The question is, where does the money come from? Let's go now. One more quick one. Chris from Willoughby there. Peter in Bondi. Hello. How are you, Peter?
Oh, good day, thanks. I wanted to ask a question. I'm 60. I've been working all my life since I was 15. I've been with my current employer for 15 years, and I've recently found out that I've got $5,000 less than my employer contributions for 15 years in my super fund. I've got no growth on it, and that's default fund, which is supposed to be a balanced fund. Yet I've got colleagues who are the same age that are sitting back on defined benefit funds with incomes of 60% plus.
So there you go, Peter. You're a classic example of it. Roger?
Classic example. There's not much more to say. Unfortunately, it's repeated right throughout the country. There's a lot of reasons for this. We can talk about it next week.
Yeah, it's a good idea because I think it really is at the very heart of not only what you do as an investor, trying to make certain you get growth for them people, but also in Peter's example, that's going to fundamentally affect his lifestyle in the future. Great debating point. We'll do it with Roger Montgomery next week right here on Money News. That is the program for tonight. Thanks for your time, Roger.
It's a pleasure, Ross.
And we shall see you on Wednesday right here on Money News.